I was amazed when the little light lights up. Pondering what to do, that, all right, the sound. We're still working on the sound. We have another speaker over here, so now the old folks that are over here can hear. And that is a problem sometimes. But we're having to learn how to balance this room and this room. So if you're having troubles hearing, let me know. We have completely redone the way the speaker system is working wiring-wise. So we're in the process of, pardon? Yeah, I turned it on.
It is on.
Somebody turned it down.
Huh? Is it too loud?
Yeah.
Okay, the two buttons on the right on this case. So anyways, with all of the things that I see going on today in our country, this political, this is not going to be a political speech. Is that too loud? Down just a little bit. Down just a little. I think it's ringing a little, right?
No.
Okay, he says it's all right, so let's leave it alone. I will try not to scream then. Anyways, and this is not about politics, but it is a little bit about the day and age that we live in, but taking a biblical application. The scripture that I'm using today is going to be found, almost all of it, in Nehemiah. Nehemiah's a little bit ahead of Psalms. While you're looking that up, just some general information that I found quite interesting. My theme today is fake news. We live in a day and age right now that if you don't like somebody, you spread a lot of gossip, or you just say something to disrupt. There can be no truth to it, nothing. For us as Christians, the devil loves to just get us fake news out there to say, oh, they're not credible, or they don't mean anything, or that Bible's old-fashioned, and that translation is terrible. I can't read that. Well, I've heard it all. It's more of what God says is right, and if it's right, he's going to show you how to understand it. So that's important. Anyways, Nehemiah, the meaning of the word in Hebrew is comfort of Yahweh, or I would say comfort of God. A little information on Nehemiah. This spans an area that is in the reign of, which we will see that here a little bit, of Artaxerxes the First, who was the king in Persia. And this is in the area. Nehemiah was in this area because of the Babylonians when they invaded Israel, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, okay? One of the things that I found interesting is that Artaxerxes, whatever, stepmother was Esther. And I didn't realize that. Maybe, I'm sure the pastor did, but Queen Esther, you'll remember in the Bible, was the cousin to Mordecai. And the king there was Ahasuerus, and he reigned in the area of 483 to 473. And you remember Haman was a member in the court, and he was trying to get the Jewish people killed and conspired against Mordecai. That's just a little information of who Nehemiah was. Nehemiah's position in the Babylonian Empire when they captured Israel, what they did was they took all of the people who they deemed to be of value. In other words, somebody that was intelligent. They took the people out of the royal court because they believed they had education. And they took them back to Babylon to be their servants, because one, they wanted the best. They wanted to have people who would respect the rule of authority, who knew how to behave in a royal court. The people, general common people or Jewish people in Israel, they just left them. They stripped the country bare and left them with almost nothing to take care of themselves. They're not important. And as a result of that, when Nehemiah was taken, to Babylon. He was an esteemed person, as we will find. He was a cupbearer to, and also a governor of Jerusalem. So he had a position, and he was compensated, from what I've read a little bit, well. And he wasn't just a common servant. He was in a position. Now, if you think about this, if he's serving the head of the Babylonian Empire, and Jewish people that have been taken away are now working in the kitchen, what would he be afraid of? They might try to poison me. And that was a common thing in that era. People would poison somebody or stab them, whatever. So how this king dealt with this is he had one of their own sample the food and the drink. He says, okay, if this person drops over dead, I guess I won't eat today. So Nehemiah, because of this position, you know, this is kind of like our Secret Service for the president. They're supposed to be willing to step in front of whatever danger it is and protect him no matter what. This is who Nehemiah was. So he was esteemed. Now, if I get to know somebody that well, we're going to build a relationship of confidence. So there is some trustworthiness here. And as we find, as we now will look into the scripture here, and I'm going to kind of move through this rather quickly, because there's quite a lot of scripture that I want to touch on and just kind of comment along. But some of the things that are going to go along with the theme of fake news are, some of these are the trials that Nehemiah is going to go through. And what was some of his, how did Nehemiah behave? One, he demonstrates courage in a situation where he's been taken away. He has to stand up for his position with respect to the king. Two, he also expressed or showed compassion for the oppressed. Now, the oppressed were the people back in Jerusalem. He had to have integrity. Now, if he's a cupbearer, he's got to be trustworthy. He also, through the process of this, he still exhibited godliness. In other words, he stayed true to who he was, even though he served under a foreign king. Five, he was selflessness. In other words, as we will find here, he gave up the luxury and ease of the palace. Good money, why not stay here? Life's good, I'm eating what the king's eating. But he had a burden for the people at home. We will find that early on. He was also a dedicated layman. In other words, he was a person who had things right, or he had the correct priorities in life. He also had concern for God's work. Now, my understanding, and the pastor can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe Nehemiah was a priest. He was just a layman. One, he exhibited leadership qualities. Obviously, if he was in this position, he was respected that he had organizational skills and did things like that. And we will see that by what he became trusted with by God. He had the ability to encourage others, yet he could rebuke sin when it was needed. And that's a good balance of a leader to have the courage to say, no, you really shouldn't do that. But you've been doing a good job. You know, you can do better. And the eighth point I had on Nehemiah was, most importantly, he was a prayerful warrior. Yet he gave God the credit and the glory for what he had done. Now that's important as a lesson for each one of us to learn. We are brought up in a country, post-World War II, with Vietnam especially. What are we taught? Be your own person. You're special. As a result of these attitudes through this timeline in our country, what people have learned to be is arrogant, disrespectful, proud-hearted, I know what's right, I'll do it my way, and yet, that's not what God's purpose for us is. He laid it out in the Word of God. This is what I want you to do. This is. He doesn't always have to, I forget which pastor it was said this morning, he doesn't always have to tell you the why. This is what I want. Follow it. And to me, that is one of the most important lessons in life that my father taught me. I will tell you, it hurt at the time, it smarted for me. But I respect that lesson more than anything else, because now, as a Christian, when I read the Bible, it's not, God, what can you do for me? I deserve to be saved. I'm sorry, I sinned against you. You have the right to decide, you have the authority. And I will tell you, that's not easy. But fake news, what's the world tell you? Be your own boss. Do the best you can. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But depends on where your perspective is. So I want to look at Nehemiah. So we're going to start right out in Nehemiah 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Heshaliah, and I may fracture these words, but... And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. So that's where he's now, in the palace in Babylon. And Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judah. Now, this Judah is a tribe in Israel. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now, with the case of Pastor Haynes or Neil, they're from Shingle House area, they may occasionally ask, how are things going in Shingle House? You know, they may ask, well, if you're, some of your family moved away, you might ask, how are they doing? We all have our own examples of that. We are concerned. So he was concerned with how the Jewish people, his fellow brethren, were doing. Verse 3, and they said unto me, thy remnant which are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now that's like somebody coming back from the past to Black Creek, or they left Black Creek, and they're saying, well, how's the church doing in Black Creek? Well, I'm sorry, they had a church fire so many years ago.